Om Gyanatimiran Hasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Vishnu Sahasranama, name 200. Well, that's something of an achievement, to have got up to 200. The Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who we are discussing, he has innumerable potencies. Parasya shakti vividhaiva shruyate swabhavaki jnana bala kriyacha. In the Shvetashvatara Upanishad, the White Mule Upanishad, it is stated that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his potencies are heard of in different ways. It means they're described in various ways. His principal potencies are his jnana potency, his bala potency, his kriya potency, his potencies of knowledge, strength, and action, and all other potencies come within that. Of course, there's also the aspect of the Supreme Lord. We're always thinking of him being supreme, but he himself is anxious to not be supreme. First of all, we have to understand how he's supreme, and then we can begin to, if we're so fortunate to be blessed by himself and his devotees, and if we're so pure in heart, we can begin to appreciate how the Supreme likes to be subordinate to his devotees. So he has innumerable potencies which are described in different ways. The name today, or the name 200, the first one we'll discuss, is Amrityuhu, which means, very easy to understand, no death, the deathless one. So this name is similar to other names which appear in Vishnu Saham, such as Amrita, which one of the meanings of Amrita is not dead. So no death is very similar to not dead. And a name like Shashvata, which means eternal, these are all names of Vishnu in here in the Vishnu Sahasranama. So Parasya Shakti Vividhaiva Shruyate, his potencies are heard of in various ways. So although the names are very similar, there's some nuance in that. The name's a little bit different. And also, we can discuss the same name over and over again. The fact that we've discussed it, it's not like discussing some topic where you learn it and that, okay, now I learned it. 2 + 2 = 4, okay, I know that. You don't have to go on. It's already understood. It's filed away in my neurons there somewhere. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his name, nam, rub, gun, lila, his names, forms, potencies, and activities, they are not subject of discussion in the same way as anything mundane is discussed, nor is knowledge of him similar to becoming knowledgeable about him the same as acquiring knowledge in the mundane sense. There's this, in the mundane sense, we have the idea of acquiring knowledge. That means it becomes part of you have it. I know this. It's like I have this money. I have this knowledge. So this makes me, puts me in a position, a better position to dominate others and control the material world. and I'm better than others because I know this and they don't know it. But we don't exactly to say acquiring knowledge about the Supreme Lord. It's a different attitude altogether. Rather, we hear and we appreciate with devotion. It's a completely different attitude. It's not like, well, now I know everything about him. Jananta eva janantu kimba hukchana me vibho manasas vachasa vacha vaibhavam tavagocharaha. Lord Brahma, who is the most knowledgeable person in the universe, we praise Einstein, but Einstein was just a blithering idiot in comparison to Brahma. Brahma is millions of times more intelligent and knowledgeable than Einstein. We only praise Einstein because we don't have knowledge of Krishna, in comparison to whom Brahma is a blithering idiot, as he himself admitted in this when he said this verse, that others may say, I know about Krishna, but as far as I'm concerned, and after all, he's Brahma, he's not just some idiot like Einstein. Of course, say idiot like Einstein, and then who are we? Materially, he's very intelligent. So, Brahma says that as far as I'm concerned, either by my physical efforts, mental efforts, or whatever, manasa, vachasa, then I can't say I know anything about it. Krishna is beyond our ability to know. But we can know him as much as he reveals himself to us. But if we have the attitude, I want to learn, I'm going to be the top of the class in the Bhakti Shastri. I'm going to show everyone how I know so much. But then you say, okay, I'm going back to, I got my Bhakti Shastri degree. They'll have to let me in. I'll show them at the door of Vaikuntha. Say, oh, they'll salute me as I come in. No way, no way. You don't understand anything if we have such an attitude. So, anyways, we're hearing about Lord Vishnu. And these names, yeah, they may be similar names, and we'll discuss the same topic, maybe in a slightly different way, or maybe the same way. But that, and then our realization and appreciation can increase. So, Krishna is obviously deathless. Otherwise, why should we praise him so much if he was just an ordinary person? We praise Einstein, but Einstein's dead and gone. At least the entity that we knew as Einstein is nabhuto nabhavishyati. He never was before and never will be again. But the Atma that was in the body of Einstein is who knows where. Maybe floating out in space. Space, there must be, Jiva is everywhere, so floating out in space, measuring the radiation or something like that, measuring the relativity. Who knows where he is? Of course, he's another meat eater, so probably in a slaughterhouse somewhere. That's what happens to meat eaters. But, Krishna is deathless. You know, we say, well, the jiva is also deathless. So what's the big thing about Vishnu being deathless? Yeah, but we are deathless because he is deathless. He is the supreme deathless. He is Vibhu Chaitanya. He is the greatly powerful conscious one. We are Anu Chaitanya, microscopically conscious. So consciousness never dies, consciousness always exists. The important point here is that Krishna, he never dies means he's never born. The entity called Einstein or the entity called, I don't know, Sanjay Chaudhary or whatever, that entity is born and dies. But the Atma who gives life to that body is eternally existing. But Krishna's body, it does, of course, birth and death and in between, they're the Sharavika, the six changes. The first is birth, then there is growth, then there is byproducts, then there is dwindling, and then there is death. And I missed one. Stays for some, yeah, steadiness, yeah. So, Krishna, oh, there's another five, there's a list of five: birth, growth, decay, disease, and death. So these are there in the living beings, who the conditioned living beings, but not in Krishna. Amrityu means ajanma also. Now we may say, well, he's born. But yes, but not in exactly the same way, because that's by his own potency, by his own desire. And another point is that Krishna's eternal, his transcendental form is eternal. He's not subject to decay. We never see a picture of Krishna looking old. And even though he appear to grow, he's always, all the different phases of the ages that he goes through, they're all eternal. He's eternally a little boy on the lap of Mother Yashoda. He's eternally with Rukmini in Dwarka as a grown man. So how can you be simultaneously a little boy on the lap of your mother and also have your wives and grandchildren? Doesn't make any sense to us. But then we're discussing Vishnu, and he's not bound to exist according to what we think is possible. He is achintya. Achintya kalu ye bhava natangs tarkena yoja yat prakritebhyo parangyachta tad achintyasya lakshana. Which means that that which is achintya, that which is inconceivable, means that it's not subject to our logical discussion. It's beyond our logic. So, studying science is, if we think that science is, as it's taught in the schools today, is a complete system of knowledge, then it will stymie us in our understanding of Krishna. Because if we think, well, that doesn't seem to make any sense, it doesn't agree with the laws of biology and physics. And yeah, well, that's true. But Krishna, he's not obliged to follow what you think is a law of biology or physics or chemistry. He makes a law, and he also makes the illusion by which you think that this is actually the a correct paradigm by which we can understand reality. So, an important point also is that although we are, as jivas, by nature we are amrityu, as is Krishna, but doesn't seem like that. We grow old and die, but we can revive our actual position of deathlessness simply by accepting Krishna's deathlessness. Janma karma cha me divyam evangyo veti tatvataha tyaktva dehang punar janma naiti mameti sorjana. So we're not just listening to or discussing these qualities of Krishna just as some kind of pious time pass. That term, it comes in Tamil also, they say time pass. It's a Hindi saying. It's Hindi English. Hindi and, I don't know, anyways. It's not English, but it's Hindi modification of English, but it's not just for passing our time, because we don't have anything. Previously, people, they weren't very advanced and they didn't have computer games. So, and they were lazy, so they didn't work hard, and they only worked enough to grow their own food, and they weren't working 20 hours a day like civilized people in the modern age. And so they needed, someone made up some stories to entertain them. And some people, even today, they still believe in them. It's called Hindu mythology. So that is the scientific explanation of religion. There's a gene. There's some gene which we haven't discovered yet, but we will discover it very soon. But it's an anomaly, that's an anachronism left over in evolution, that people believe in God. That was said by Richard Dawkins, and he's a great authority, so we should accept what he says. We shouldn't accept what Krishna says. We should accept what he says. That there's a gene that we haven't quite discovered it, but I'm pretty sure we're going to discover it fairly soon, because it's scientific to think so, that there's a gene by which we believe in God. But we'll find it, and we'll destroy it at birth, and then no one will believe in God. And then they'll be happy in their blip life, boom, come and gone. And thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for saving us from Richard Dawkins and company. He's not Amrityu. He has to die and take birth as a worm in extremely smelly stool. I don't think ordinary stool is good enough for him, or bad enough for him. So, the next name, Savadrik, which means that he sees everything. So this is also similar to other names that have already been discussed, such as Sarvadarshana, Sakshi. Sakshi means not just seeing, but not just seeing and neutrally observing, but taking a note. Making a note. This person is offered me fruit and flower and leaf and water. Taking a note. This person is killing cows. Take a note. Everything is noted. So he's the seer of everything. In all times, all places, all circumstances. He sees everything. Sometimes we think, well, I can get away. No one's watching. I can get away with it. Aha, someone's watching. Who's watching? Krishna's watching. And he has his agents also. In this material world, all the demigods of the different elements, the earth, water, fire, air, ether, they all see everything also. Yamaraj sees everything. Brahma sees everything. The demigods of the different directions. So, we're being well watched. So, be careful. Krishna's there. He sees everything. So, the next name is Singha, which means a lion. And recently, we discussed one name is there, Hansa, which means a swan. So that point came up that we might think that we call Vishnu Hansa because he's like a swan, but rather we call the swan a swan because he's like Vishnu. The qualities that, the favorable qualities that we see in a lion or a swan, for that, those qualities are a reflection of the qualities of Vishnu. He is the reservoir of all qualities. So it's not just like you, that you might call, you might say that this woman's face is as beautiful as the moon. So, and there's a comparison. and then saying that this her face is as beautiful as the moon. But you would say of the lion that he's as powerful as Vishnu, therefore we should call him a lion. So the of course the original lion is the lioness is manifest as Narasimha, Nrisimha, Nrikesari. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of a man lion. So the lion is known as the king of the animals, king of the jungle, and is very powerful, is graceful in his movements, and like seems to be aristocratic. Not like the lion and the jackal eat the same food, but a jackal is despicable, whereas a lion is considered aristocratic among the animals, whereas a jackal is just down near the bottom in the ratings. If we call someone, he's like a lion, that's a great compliment. If we say he's like a jackal, that's an... well, it's an insult if he's not like a jackal. Otherwise, it's just a statement of fact. So, the lion, his dignity, that also comes from his independence. He doesn't depend on anyone. He gets his own food. Everyone's afraid of him. So, of course, the lion is a dumb beast. It's not a... This is some qualities which we're stating. We have to remember that the lion is, after all, a conditioned soul. But within the context of material existence, the lion is powerful, beautiful, aristocratic, independent, graceful, so many qualities. So if you call someone a lion, that is a compliment, that the soldiers, the comparison is there to a lion. That means they should be fearless. The lion knows no fear. There's no animal that he's afraid of. Actually, in the Gujarat, the Gir cows in the Gir jungle, the lion won't go near them. You think the lion would attack the cows? Not the Gir cows. It means they're afraid of them. The Gir cows don't attack the lion, but if the lion, well, they don't attack them because they know that the Gir cows will fight back, and they can fight back well. They're big, strong, and they're not afraid. Also, in the African jungle, there's one tribe, Maasai, they're called. They're very tall and strong, and they live in the jungle, and the lion also lives in the jungle, but the lions won't go near those people. If you or I go there, the lion may come and attack us. They may or may not, because humans are quite bony, and they're not such good food for lions, but you need more fleshy animals, they prefer. But it would be dangerous for us to go, but not for the Maasai. The lions won't go, they know these people. Because the Maasai, getting a little bit anthropological here, they traditionally, before a boy can be married, he has to go and kill a lion by himself. That's how you become a man. And the Maasai, they put different herbs and on their bodies with mud, and then that smell comes, and then the lions, they know, we won't go near them. So the lions in this material world, of course, they're mostly all wiped out now since the guns got invented. If you have to go and kill a lion with just a sword or a spear, then it's That's a job for a lion-like man. That's for the kshatriyas. But nowadays with guns, they're very easily. Well, still, I don't know how many of us would be willing to go into a jungle with lions, even with a gun. But it put the lion at an unfair disadvantage, you could say. So, in this material world, the lion is not all-powerful. But there's some semblance of that. So, there's a name for Krishna, who's actually all-powerful, actually all-graceful. He's also deathless. The lion has to die, either naturally or by being killed. So the lion, the qualities that the lion has, or that any other creature, like a swan, or a powerful man, may also be called a singha, they take these qualities, which they only manifest for a short time, because the Indra of today can become a snake of tomorrow. As we find in Mahabharata, Indra had to become a snake. Another time, one Indra had to become a pig. So Krishna has these qualities fully and eternally, whereas the lion has them temporarily and in a very limited way. Still, it's impressive. If we see a lion, it's impressive, no doubt. About Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has written, Chaitanya Shinghe Navadipe Obata Shingha Griva Shingha Birja Shingha Hunka. He calls Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Chaitanya Singha. He has descended in Navadip and he has the shoulders like a lion, the prowess of a lion, Singha Virya, and the loud call of a lion. Hunka means calling out loudly. She shingha boshuk jibe hridoy kondare kalmosh dvirada nashe jaha hunkare. Yeah. So he says, may that lion sit within the heart, within the inner core of the heart of the jivas, and by his calling out, by his roars, the lion roars, all the sinful propensities, which are like mighty elephants. Elephants are also mighty. The lion is more mighty, except in the case of, who's mentioned in Bhagavatam and other shastras, Gajendra. It said in the jungle, even the lions were afraid of him. But generally, the elephants are afraid of the lions. And here in Tamil Nadu, we quite often see in the temples some sculptures of lions fighting elephants. So the lion generally wins in such a fight. So that the elephant of sinful propensities will be destroyed by the calling out of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's also Narottam Das sings, Apane Palabe Shab Shunya Gobinda Rab Shingha Rabe Jaina Korigon. He says that all the bad propensities will run away from our hearts. Apane Palabe Shab, on hearing the name of Govinda, hearing the sound Govinda. Just like the elephants run away at the sound of a lion. So he's so powerful. Just by his roar, everyone becomes afraid. There are some birds which they sit on the back of the lion and peck away, and the lion accepts it. Just like you see the cows, the crows come, and they peck, and they take the mucus in the corner of their eye, and they jump on their back, and the cow, they're just peaceful. So there are some birds which are not afraid of the lion, and they peck out some insects because they also benefit the lion. What's that called? Symbiotic relationship, in which the two species, they benefit each other. So the lion, that bird comes, and the lion won't chase it away or try to catch it. So in the same way, if we take shelter of Krishna, of course we can't benefit Krishna, but we can serve Krishna. He gives us the opportunity to serve him. Then he won't destroy us. People in this material world, they generally worship Shiva, because he's the destroyer. They're impressed by destruction. But Krishna, of course, he's also the destroyer. But he gives that function to Shiva. So they think he's all-powerful. They call him Parameshvara. But Krishna is the ultimate destroyer. Ultimately, he destroys the lions also. So much could be said about lions. That's also, if you hear all these descriptions and we see a lion, we should think of Krishna. Mriganam cha mrigendro ham, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. You see a lion, think of Krishna. It might be your last moment, so think of Krishna at the time. Think of Krishna at the time of death. If you just happen to come across a lion in the jungle. Of course, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came across the tigers in the jungle, he told them, get up, chant Hare Krishna, why are you sleeping? And Balabhadra Bhattacharya, who was with him, thought, oh, now we're finished. But in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had the lions and the deer all chanting Hare Krishna and dancing together. That's also na bhuto na bhavishyati. We won't see that again until the next day of Lord Brahma, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes. So, she, shingha boshuk jibe hridoi kondare kolmosh dirada nashe jaha hunkare. So, Krishna's Kaviraj is inviting that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will sit in our... This is actually coming from the... his Bengali versification of the Sanskrit verse of Rupa Goswami, that famous verse. Anarpita chiring chirat karunya avatirna kalo samapiyata monatajvala rasa so bhakti shriyam. Hari purata sundara kadamba sandipita sada hridya kandare spurita vasachinandana. May that sachinandan sit within the core of your heart. It's not mentioned here about him being a lion. But that idea, that hridya kandare, may he sit in the core of your heart. He's come to offer which no avatar had ever given before. The topmost resplendent loving bhakti. May he always sit in our hearts. So, a lion is very fearful. There's also that verse of Sridhar Swami, which is Srila Prabhupada quotes, about the lion is very fearful, but not to the cubs. The lion cubs think, oh, my mother's very nice. But she goes out and kills. Actually, the lion, so we've heard, is a bit of a lazy fellow. But it's the female, she's holding the family together. She goes out and hunts. She's very dangerous. But to the lion's just sitting at home looking in the mirror, looking at his nice hairstyle. But the wife is, she's out. She's a working wife. She's out catching all the animals and killing them. So, the cubs, they think, oh, she's very nice. So if we become the pet cub of Krishna, then even though he's so powerful, he destroys all living beings. I mean, the bodies and the forms and not the livingness of them, but everything is destroyed via him, but he protects the devotees. Then the next name, Sandhata. One who causes sandhi, which means joining together. You know this word sandhi from grammar. When two words are joined together, they may not join very naturally, but by some grammatical adjustment, they're joined. Or a similar term, sandhya. The three sandhyas in the daytime, at the end of the yuga, there's a sandhya period between Dwarpa Yuga and Kali Yuga. This is the interim period. So one who causes joining. This name is similar to the name Yoga. This name has the Acharyas have commented on this name. One who unites. One who brings together. So he brings his devotees to him. He brings all living beings together. We were born in this lifetime, in this body, born to certain parents. So he brings certain jivas together. And then again, the opposite of yoga is viyoga, but this name is about bringing together. So he brings them together. But when he brings the devotees to him, there's no viyoga, there's no going apart again. They're eternally bonded with him. He also brings together the fruits of the actions of the living beings. That name has just been given, Sarvadrik. He sees everything. So he may think that, I robbed a bank. I got away with it. The police didn't catch me. I paid them off and they arrested my enemy instead and charged him with it. So I got away with it. But no. The fruits of our activities, he will join them with us. We cannot avoid that. Now, the few names from here on, beginning with Sandhata, Taladev Vidyabhushan, the Gaudiya commentator on Vishnu Sahasranama, he takes the next few names as names, specifically explains them in terms of Rama Lila, Lord Rama. So, he explains his name Sandhata to mean an expert archer. That means he unites the arrow with its target. There's a saying, what is that? Ek patni, ek ban, and ek bacham, about Lord Rama. He has one wife. He says something once only. Once he said it, that's it, finished. He's not going to go back on his word. And one arrow is all that's required. And one enemy, one arrow. That's all. Although sometimes we hear descriptions also, he would decorate his enemies with many arrows. But he only needs one. So the next name, Sandhiman, means one who has sandhi, one who has unity. In this unity in the sense of being joined with something. So he's always joined with his devotees. That verse is there in Bhagavatam. Sadhavo hridayo mahyam sadhu nang hridayam toham adanyate na jananti nahang tebyo managapi. The devotees are my heart and I am the heart of the devotees because they know nothing but me and I know nothing but them. So Krishna is always united with his devotees. And if we think that I'm disunited, we should know that he is always He is Sandhata. He brings his devotees to him, and he keeps them with him. This name, Baladev Vidyabhushan has described as one who made a sandhi, can also mean an alliance, like a political alliance. So he made an alliance, Lord Rama, with Sugriva. But of course it was much more than a political alliance. When with a political alliance you make it, and then you can change it also. If we see the history of Europe, then you'll find that Britain was sometimes aligned with one country, and then they'd break the alliance, and all the countries, they'd have an alliance, and then they'd break it and fight the same country they were allied with. Or actually, nowadays we think in terms of countries, but previously it used to be kings, and their territories would keep on shifting. But people thought in terms of kings rather than countries. So they'd make an alliance, they'd break the alliance, and it would be changing all the time. It must be there in the history of India also. But Krishna, when he makes an alliance, that's, of course, he doesn't need, Rama doesn't need Sugriva's help, but he took his help as if he needed it. And that relationship became one more of a political bond, that Rama, he, by his natural qualities, he was bonded with Sugriva eternally, because having attained such a friend, then why would you want to break that? If one is thinking in terms of one's own power, one's own interest, then you can make alliances and break them. But if you make an alliance with Rama, then you stop thinking of my own self-interest and being just enamored by the beautiful qualities of Lord Rama, then you simply want to serve him, that's all. Then why should you think in terms of my own self-interest? So he bonds everyone to him more than with some political lines, with the bonds of love. Pranayarasana, this in Bhagavatam, that's described. He ties the devotees with the ropes of love. So that's how he unites his devotees. Devotees are tied up by him. So Sthira, this is also similar to some names that we've had before. This is name 205. One is very firm. So this, in relation to his devotees, this is, it could be said that he's firm in innumerable ways, but particularly the Vaishnavas, they see that he's firm in his relation to his devotees. And there's that verse from Ramayana, which is quoted by the Tengalis, especially, that, what's that word? That verse. If one time one says, he surrendered to me, I accept him. Sadhya? Sakrit? Yeah, anyway, I don't know. So they say that's the big verse in the Tengalis. Understanding that once only, and then that's it. He promises, I will keep you forever. So the Sri Vaishnav, yeah, if any, Lord Rama says, if Sakrit Deva Prapanno, yes. So if one even once surrenders to me, he says that I will protect him forever. So this is a key point of contention between Tengalai and Vadagalai. The Vadagalai said, you know, you have to go on surrendering. You just can't be, you know, say, okay, I surrendered, and then you just go out to the bar and start drinking whiskey or something. Whereas the Tengalai understanding, at least how it's stated, is that The Parashara Bhakta, who is the principal or the Sri Vaishnava commentator on Vishnu Sahasranama, he says that this sthira means that Vishnu is firmly attached to his devotees in spite of any wrongs by them. Even if you do something wrong because you're attached to him, he's attached to you. So this calls to mind, of course, the apichet sudara charo bhajate mamananya bhak sadhureva samantavya samyagvyavasiti isaha. A verse of Gita in which Krishna says, even if someone's very badly behaved, if he's fixed in service to me, then he should be considered a sadhu. But then, of course, Krishna also says, shashvat, what is that? Chipram bhavati dharma ma. Then very quickly he'll become dharmatma. Of course, who this is referring to, the devotee or the person who thinks like that. But the Vadagalai, the branch, they say that you shouldn't say that, because you shouldn't say that the Lord is attached to his devotees even if they do wrong, because then you'll encourage people to do wrong. So that's a point of contention between them. But anyway, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, even if the devotees do something wrong, they should be considered devotees, they should be considered saintly. That doesn't mean that we should do wrong, but it shows the quality of the Supreme Lord that he thinks alpo seva bahumane. He thinks a little service he takes to be something very great. My devotee has done something very great, even if he has some faults from previous bad habits. So, and then the same sthira or fix, in as much he's constant, he's always the same. It's not that Krishna sometimes in a bad mood and he just kills a bunch of people because he feels like it. I'm all powerful, so he doesn't need a computer game to play killing people. He can just do it anytime he likes, but he doesn't. He's not whimsical. He's fixed in his discrimination, in his love for his devotees, in being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in being Deva Deva Jagatpati, all these things. So that's all for now. Hare Krishna. Any questions about this place? Sarvadrik or Sarvadruk. Yeah, either way you want to pronounce it. Dridrisha Vichar, he's the seer. Yes, that's an important point. He's the seer. We think we are seeing everything. I've traveled all over the world. I've seen so many things, and I've come to the conclusion, I didn't see any God. There's no God. So we may think like that. Or we may think that we have to understand God from our perspective. But rather, he is the seer, and we have to understand him from his perspective. That's the perspective that matters, not our perspective. Our very narrow perspective. I mean, even materially, we can only see within certain range of light waves. There may be many things, if we could increase our spectrum of vision, there may be many things that we would see, which we don't see. So even materially, we have very limited range, and a very limited range of understanding. So better we understand from Krishna's perspective, which he presents us with via Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Yeah. Can we appreciate Prakriti Sahajiyas, who willingly perform sinful activities and say that we just love Krishna. No. That is rascaldom. If one accidentally or due to some bad habit does something wrong, but one is sincerely trying to come to the position of pure devotional service, that person is to be considered a sadhu. But one who commits sins thinking that, well, anyway, Krishna will forgive it, such a person is very sinful. That's the offense against the holy name. Namo baladya sahi papa buddhihi. Thinking that I'll just be sinful and then I'll chant Hare Krishna and everything will be okay. That's the most offense, very severe offense. There's a lot of difference between Tengalai and Varigalai. Well, there used to be. Nowadays, it's just something that some people, they keep for marriage, that's all. Although, you also see Galai no Ba in the advertisements. In other words, Tengalai only marries Tengalai, Varigalai only marries, but you'll see in the marriage advertisements also Galai no Ba means they can marry either side, as long as it's a Brahmin, as long as it's an Iyengar. I think those marriage advertisements in the paper, they may be, it'll be within 10 years, there won't be any more of them. There might not even be any marriage, like in the Western world. Why bother getting married? It's, you know, anyway, you're going to get married and you have to go through all these legal procedures and then you divorce and then you go through more legal procedures. So better just don't get married, that's all. When you feel fed up with the partner that you have at home, then you just go to one of the others that you're dealing with outside. Like this cat and dog life. That's what it is. Cats and dogs. It's called advanced civilization. Hare Krishna. So we'll finish that. Do you want to go on like this outside? It's a bit hot for all the... some question, yeah?
I read that Srimad Jagannath Das Babaji, one of the four main instructions to his disciples, he mentions that Gauranga is more merciful and benevolent than Krishna, and he also explained that Krishna is the real who takes into the account the offenses in his administration of justice, but Sudhakar also does not take the offenses into account.
So it's said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't see offenses, whereas Krishna does. So therefore we'll just do all offenses and say Gauranga. Is that the idea? Well, maybe he doesn't see the offenses, but his devotees may. So his devotees are not going to be very happy if you just just like, for instance, there's this idea that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a doll, because Srila Prabhupada apparently said that you can have Gaur-Nitai dolls. So you just stick them in the corner and you don't bother about them too much, except when you get some feeling of imaginative ecstasy and then you jump up and down and say Gauranga, and the rest of the time they're in one corner, and in the center of the room is a huge TV which you give much more attention to than the dolls who you call Gaur-Nitai. So Gaur-Nitai may not take offenses, but his devotees, they will. And why do you want to treat Gauranga like some doll? They'll be offended. They won't accept you. So don't take Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's benevolence as an excuse to be a rascal. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never taught that you just be a rascal and I'll deliver you. No, he delivered Jagai Madhai on the condition that they don't sin anymore. That is his benevolence. He will forgive your sinfulness. But he says, don't go on sinning. Okay, all right. No harm, it's all nice.
This question arose during Bhagavatam class that at the time of death, it is the mind which will determine the destination for the soul.
At the time of death, the mind will determine the destination for the soul. This is. But the what? The thought itself. The thought, particular thought, or the general state of mind. Which is it that determines your next birth? Well, ultimately, it's. Karmana daiva netrena jantur dehopapatiya. Ultimately, it's decided by Krishna and the various demigods. They act as agents of Krishna. According to one's karma, according to the activities one has performed under the supervision of the demigods. And what thoughts we have at the time of death, that will be determined largely by what state of consciousness we have cultivated throughout life. So it's not separate. And even if you think of something pious at the time of death, having performed sinful activities throughout life, then you may get a pious birth, but you can't avoid your sinful reactions. So you may find I was just noting the other day that it seems it's very common in Marwari families, it seems, to have a child who's physically and mentally retarded. I know I thought maybe in Marwari families they don't kill them as in other families they might do. But it seems very common. At least I remember when I was in Calcutta, there are so many Marwaris there. Seemed a very common thing to have physically and mentally retarded child. So they're born in a rich family, pious family, but they have some severe bad karma also. So karma is mixed. The best thing is to cultivate Krishna consciousness and think of Krishna at the time of death. Then you don't have to worry about whether I'm going to be born in Marwari family or some family in some Kampuchea or something. Kampuchea is still one of the lower destinations on this earth. Oh, it's not that all Marwaris are rich, also. I want to be born in a Marwari family. You can get born in a poor Marwari family also. It's not that they're all rich. Yeah, okay.
I also understand that Lord Chaitanya himself comes to remind us of the service we have done.
Lord Chaitanya comes to remind us of the little service that we've done. I've never heard that stated, although it may be, but I've never heard that stated. Yeah, then? Is it a sure thing that he'll help? Well, he's not obliged to. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected some people also. His own servant, he rejected him. Kala Krishna Das. But then the devotees, they gave Kala Krishna Das some service. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would reject Mukunda, his own lifelong friend, because Mukunda was inclined to mix with Mayavadis. And then again he accepted him, but if Mukunda had thought that I'll go on associating with Mayavadis, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wouldn't have accepted him. There are many instances of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or several we can say, of rejecting people. And then when their consciousness changed, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is ready to accept. But we shouldn't think that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like this idea people have, that you just believe in Jesus and then you do any nonsense you like, and then Jesus just delivers you. That's not the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. All you have to do is say, I believe in Jesus, and that's it. And then you can do any nonsense you like all your life, and Jesus will deliver you. This is rascaldom, such a teaching. It's not Jesus' teaching. He never taught that himself. So we shouldn't think that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so merciful, so I'll just do whatever I like, and then I'll just say Gauranga. No, you'll go to hell. So you're trying to cheat Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna.